What's good, Atlanta? This is the Blog and Dirty Podcast, where dirty bird is the word. If you haven't heard, I'm your host, John Bueller, lead writer for Fansided. Not a lot's going good for your Atlanta Falcons here, but this is Atlanta Falcons podcast for the Fansided Network on behalf of the Atlanta Falcons blog site or team site, Blog and Dirty. Before we begin, be sure to hit that like button, smash that subscribe button, give us a 5-star review, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere there's podcast, really helps the show grow because Lord knows we need it. This team's not good. This team's 4-9, just got pretty much all of its teeth kicked out of its face with this absolute drubbing at the hands of the Seattle Seahawks. Your beloved Dirty Birds lost 37-9 at home. This is an absolute nightmare. It comes on the same field that the Georgia Bulldogs clobbered the Alabama Crimson Tide the night before. So, again, I get to ride the highest of highs with the Georgia Bulldogs and the lowest lows of the Atlanta Falcons. And this is the Blog and Dirty Podcast. This is just apparently what I've signed up for. The Falcons have once again achieved a losing season. This is the longest stretch of losing seasons they've had, you know, from what, 83 to 91. So, like, from 82-91, they didn't make the playoffs. We're there now. And it's honestly, it's unbelievable. But then again, this is the Atlanta Falcons. So I'm going to get out of here before, hopefully I don't swear on the show. But this team is putting me through the absolute ringer here. So I'm going to get us through here, recapping this delightful game versus the Seahawks here with 3 yards and a cloud of punt. Again, I'm going to go with a run with two things in the positive, a pass, one thing in the negative, and then a punt for something that I don't really know. I feel like every show now is the same sort of thing because this team is just hot garbage. So let's get started here with our first run of the day. And the only bright spot today was James Pierce Jr. had a really cool sack, and I think he should win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Look, when you traded up to get him in a deal with the Los Angeles Rams, it kind of mortgaged your future. You traded back up into the first round to get a guy that you were, like, you know, completely set on being part of your team and your future moving forward. But you're not going to have a first-round pick next year. You're going to be worse than you were the year prior. Could really use a top-10 pick again, but, that's just not the cards for this year's team. But I will say, though, James Pierce Jr. got up to, what, 6 sacks on the season. He's had, what, 5 in each of his – he's had 5 in the last 5 games, so 1 apiece in each game. Had a great sack there on Sam Darnold. Nearly had a safety. Looked very, very, very impressive there for the most part. With the pass rush, he got kind of banged up there. You know, and the Falcons just collapsed in the second half. It's not even doing it justice. They literally burned everything in their town like it was effing Carthage, like just an absolute utter embarrassment. But there is talent on this team. There's talent all over the gridiron, you know, in arguably all 3 phases. I think we're just kind of a bunch of mid on special teams, which I'll get to in a little bit. But James Pierce Jr., he's not a problem. He's a solution. And I think he's a guy that I think whomever is going to be leading this team in the future is going to be very lucky to be coaching. This guy is getting better. He's taking, you know, the leadership and everything like that from Leonard Floyd, from Arnold Levichetti, playing very well opposite of Jalen Carter. I don't know. Maybe we could have had Jalen Walker, too. We got Bijan Robinson. He's good, too. But I was kind of down on the James Pierce Jr. pick. I said of the 32 first-round picks, this was definitely kind of more of a project than a prospect. I've kind of put him down in the bottom, like, 8th of the first-round picks. And he might win an NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. He might beat out Jalen Walker because he's just kind of – he's getting the stats. And when you get the stats, that, you know, intrigues the guys there in the NFL. But it's not just a speed rush guy. This isn't just some Vic Beasley Jr. nonsense. This guy's making plays. He's just a very instinctive player. Very relentless. They're putting him out there. The pass rush is not really the problem for this team. There's a lot of other problems around there, but that's not one of them. And very proud of how well he is playing when the team has absolutely hit the skids of late. And there's not a lot of bright spots out there for this year's Atlanta Falcons, but James Pierce Jr., Jalen Walker, Billy Bowman Jr. has been hurt, but Xavier Watts has been good. The rookie class has been solid. So for as much flack as we give Terry Fontenot, he drafted a lot of good ones here. So if James Pierce Jr. wins NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, it'll be nice, kind of like, you know, Drake Baldwin winning NL Rookie of the Year there for the Braves in a down year for them. Zach Risache kind of did a lot of stuff similarly too with the Hawks. So, you know, the future's bright. We got stars here. Got to get better. Got to get better coaches, man. I don't even know what to say anymore. And on that note, let's get to our second run of the day because we have to. The Seattle Seahawks are proof that good coaching matters. It really does. Every time the Falcons take the field, we're coming up dead in the coaching department. Every single goddamn time. And I don't care if I swear there. I don't really care. When you have a head coach who cannot affect anything, you know, within the context of a game because he's the ultimate CEO type, when you have an offensive coordinator who's essentially Scott Erickson over there just looking pretty, not doing a whole hell of a lot, that doesn't help. When you have a special teams coordinator who literally takes a dump in a bag and says, you know what, that's my game plan. Like, Marquise Williams should not have a job tomorrow. Just terrible. You had a kick blocked. You gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown. Just a whole bunch of other mess. You're at home, too. And this comes after just an utterly atrocious performance on special teams. Admittedly, in the rain versus the Jets on the road. But, like, when does it stop being a coincidence? It's not. It's just not good. I'm good with Jeff Ulbrich, but when your offense just keeps coming up for dead because you can't call a damn play on third down, like, what do you do? And your head coach is just—he's just a smile at this point. Like he's about as useful as like the smiley face. Like, I don't, probably because Arthur Blank has, like, I don't know, worms in his brain at this point. Like, this team's just a train wreck. Like, let's have Josh Blank run the team. Because at least he's not an octogenarian. At least he's not Jerry Jonesing it. At least he's not at the Mike Brown. We're so beyond the Al Davis Rubicon. Like, we've crossed that point, and it's not good. At some point in time, Arthur Blank was a good owner, but now he's terrible. Like, he needs to just go to a home at this point. It's unbelievable how bad this team is. And everybody outside of Flyer Branch could have told you they have the worst coaching staff in the league. And we didn't do anything to address it. You know, could you imagine if we still retained Jimmy Lake, how terrible this team would be? And when I get back to, like, again, I'm going to rip on the coaching staff pretty much the entire show. But you look at Seattle. Look at who they have. And it doesn't even really matter who their defensive coordinator is. Mike McDonald's a fantastic head coach. He's a 30-something. He's probably 40 now, a little bit older than me. He's from Atlanta. He went to Centennial High School. He went to Georgia. You know, we know him from, like, coaching on Jim Harbaugh's staff in Michigan and John Harbaugh's staff in Baltimore. Why couldn't we hire him? Like, why are we so drool monkey stupid that we couldn't make this work? Maybe he just knew better. Maybe this is why Sean McVay doesn't want to come work for his hometown team. Maybe that's why people, like, you know, run away. Like we're infested with the bubonic plague. It's utterly unbelievable. And then you look over there on the offensive side of the ball. They've got Clint Kubiak, you know, son of Gary Kubiak, you know, former Saints OC, former guy with the Vikings when Gary Kubiak was on that staff there in Minneapolis. You know, he also stems from the McVay-Shanahan coaching tree, if you will. We thought, oh, because we got a branch from it, it means it's going to work. Well, you have to water this plant. You know, it's just not going to produce fruit for you because, you know, you bought a pet at a pet store. You have to take care of it. Like, Zach Robinson is so terrible at his job. Oklahoma State wanted nothing to do with him. They'd rather hire a guy who couldn't figure out how to run the football in the rain in Tulane and lose the American championship. They'd rather hire Eric Morris than Zach Robinson. Like, I don't think I've despised an Atlanta Falcons coordinator more than I do Zach Robinson. And I thought I hated Jimmy Lake too. And I know, so, like, there's a lot of disdain for Kyle Shanahan coursing through my veins, but he kind of burned us. Like Zach Robinson on third down is just fear P. He has no clue what he's doing. Third and two, it could be third and a mile. It could be third and an inch. And I know he's not going to figure it out. I just feel like he's so far in his own head. And maybe he's going to become like the greatest offensive coordinator at his next job. But not here. Not with the goddamn Atlanta Falcons. Are you kidding me?
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI. Because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
He needs to go. He needs to go. Raheem Morris needs to go. The fact that like this team is no has a losing record for the eighth year in a row. So it's 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Eight years in a row. 8 years. That's how long I've been working for FanSided full time. I've been writing there for a decade. Like my entire 30s. We've gone through COVID. You know, I grew long hair. I moved back home. I met a girl. I got engaged. I've done a whole bunch of other things. But the Falcons still can't make the playoffs because this coaching staff is just so atrocious. But you look at Clint Kubiak, and he's first year with Sam Darnold, you know, in Seattle. New guy, new coordinator, new coach, new coordinator, new quarterback, second-year head coach. They completely embarrassed us. And the worst part is, like, they did this to us last year with a very disjointed offense. And I'm going to tie this back to, like, you know, that venue, that coaching staff, the teams that played there. You know who the OC was a year ago for Seattle? That would be Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator for Alabama. A couple years ago, he was the national championship runner-up offensive coordinator for the Washington Huskies on Kalen DeBoer's staff, the guy who coached Michael Penix Jr. at Washington. Doesn't know how to run the football. On Saturday, you and I combined to rush for more yards than Alabama did. They had negative three. That's the worst rushing performance Alabama has ever had in their football history, which is unbelievable. And they didn't drop a spot. They're still ranked number nine. Mike McDonald, that young in his coaching career, his second year as the head coach of the Seahawks, was like, you know what? We're going to make a change. The guy I thought was going to work just down the road there with the Huskies did not work for me. And he got a guy. He also pivoted off Geno Smith, who's a disaster for the Raiders. That might be the only coaching staff that's worse coached than us, arguably. In the NFC, I don't think there's anything worse than what we got. Raiders is terrible, too. And they already fired Chip Kelly. At least they have the stones to do that. But you look at Mike McDonald. He had every player on his team show up to voluntary OTAs. They're all bought in on this team. Clint Kubiak, really, like, Jackson Smith and Jigba, who was fantastic for Ohio State, really only had a couple of good games. Sensational player. Like, true number one. Couldn't contain him all day. Kenneth Walker III, the whole reason Michigan State was good that 1 year, the former weight transfer, it's because of him. Zach Charbonnet, they draft well. And I saw towards the end of the game, I turned it off with about a minute or so left. I looked down there with their GM, John Schneider, who's been in that role for as long as John Harbaugh has been with the Ravens or Mike Tomlin's been with the Steelers. He's just really good at what he does. And he gets to take these weird risks and these weird calculations because – you know, he'll find a Russell Wilson. He'll find a Bobby Wagner. He'll find, you know, Richard Sherman, Bobby Wagner, Russell Wilson. He'll take risks on guys like Earl Thomas and Bruce Irvin and Marshawn Lynch. It'll work out, but we don't have that. We don't know as much as we think we do. I think there's lessons to be learned by the Seahawks. And I think that that loss is as much of a referendum as losing it was to the Panthers earlier this season, as much as it was losing to the Dolphins. This is right up there. This is one of the three worst losses we've had all year. Really, really difficult to find positivity here. All right, let's not beat around the bush here. Let's go to our third down. Let's pass. This is the worst coach team in football, especially on special teams. Just terrible. Just terrible. I know I talked about that a lot there on the second down, everything kind of comparing it to it. It should have transitioned here, but like we're trying to process what the hell is going on with this team. I have no idea. What's so bothersome is I think the fan base, Dirty Bird Nation, knows that this team has talent. There's resources too. The pieces can work. But you have just like the three stooges on this team, which are Raheem Morris, Zach Robinson, and Marquise Williams. Like, I don't think they should work in the NFL anymore. They're that bad at their jobs. Like, this is one of those things where, like, this is your last job. Like, when you fail at South Carolina, that's it for you. This is kind of where it's gotten here. And I don't care how nice they might be. I don't care how well-connected they are. I don't care how much of a LinkedIn superstar they are. These guys suck. They are terrible. Horrendous. Like, there's a reason it took 15 years for Raheem Morris to become a head coach again. And we swallowed that lure, hook, line, and sinker. Zach Robinson can't call a play. I wouldn't trust him to get my order right at a drive-thru. And then Marquise Williams. I'm trying to figure out how to say this delicately. Like he's better off putting scissors in an electrical socket than doing what he does in special teams. Completely worthless. You can do anything in your life short of being an astronaut because Marquise Williams is a special teams coach for the Atlanta Falcons. This is an organization that used to pride itself on special teams. Had great kickers. You know, Morton Anderson, Jay Feely, Matt Bryant, Younghoe Koo when he was good. Return man like Deion Sanders, Devin Hester, Allen Rawson. Terrible. Terrible. Really putting the special and special teams there with him. Just the worst coach team I've ever seen. And the worst part is it's impacting the players. Look, I know Cousins threw a lot of picks. A lot of them were tipped. I don't think the coaches put him in situations that were like contingent to this. Look, Cousins is capable of a game like this. But you come back from like, you know, your first play after halftime, you let up like a opening kickoff, like score. Like this is what happens when you employ simpletons like Felipe Franks and JD Bertrand on special teams. Like, what are they doing? They should just be collecting garbage at this point. They're effectively garbage men to me. They don't do a damn thing for me. I don't care if that's mean. I don't care if they hear this. This team sucks because they're on it. They suck too. Oh my God. Like, I don't want any of them to be working for this team tomorrow. But it's a short week. We got the Buccaneers on Thursday. So at least we're going to get our 10th loss out of the way on the road in Tampa. Late. And I'll be coming to you guys semi-live with 3 yards in the cloud of punt there after whatever week of this disaster season it is. And I'll have something on Wednesday too because, you know, I'm a team player here for Fanside. I'm going to keep doing that for you. I wish this was better. And then, you know, let's get out of here with some punt because I don't want to swear on the show too much. Who's going to want to coach this team? Who's going to be part of this regime, honestly? I'm of the belief this is the worst coaching carousel in the NFL I can ever remember. And again, I've been following along with the NFL very closely since 98 at varying levels. I mean, I'm kind of more in the college game now. I know that like the back of my hand. But like, I don't really know who the coaching candidates are out there. You think Joe Brady is going to want to come here and coach here? God, I don't even think Tom Brady's like cousin would want to coach this team. You can't bring Raheem Morris back. And you're like, oh, it's become a toxic job. Well, it is what it is. Your only hope is that a really good head coach gets fired for some reason and Arthur Blank gives him the franchise. Like, he gives him a greater stake in the team than he gave Work Done. Like, honestly, let Work Done coach the team. Let Michael Vick coach the team. He won one day. He won one game at Norfolk State. But at least, you know what? People can get behind that. I cannot get behind this crap right now. And as far as Terry Fontenot is concerned, I was in favor of keeping him because I think he has drafted well. Look, you can't let – you can't – how do I say this? Raheem Morris and his collection of just utter simpletons, just complete vacuous morons. Like, we're talking like Derek Zoolander and his three guys who died in a freak gasoline fighting accident. Like, I would trust them to coach the Falcons more than Raheem Morris. Utterly terrible. I'm not going to say he's like a fraud like Brandon Staley was coaching the LA Chargers, but we're getting there. The fact I even verbalized that tells you how bad of a coach he is. And I wanted to buy into him. I wanted to believe that he would make a difference here. No, not even one little bit. You have to get rid of Terry Fontenot too, because you need to have a clean slate. Got to sell off some players, get some draft capital back. And, I mean, I hate to say it, like, if you got to trade Drake London, honestly, if you got to trade Bijan Robinson, you may have to get a boatload back in return. At this point, the only guy I wouldn't trade is probably James Pierce Jr. or Jalen Walker. And you can have everybody else. Whatever it is not working. We got to flush this thing. We got to rebrand. If we don't want to be the Falcons, if we want to be the Atlanta Bananas, if you want to be the Atlanta Hammers, if you want to be just like the Connectors, Traffic, if we want to become like the Georgia Cockroaches, like, we got to shed whatever we're doing, like whatever jerseys we're wearing now, burn them. Go back to what we had with like the stuff from the 90s, the back and black sort of thing. Go back to that. Find what makes you good. Find what makes you actually matter in the NFL and do that. You know, go hire a retread that people didn't respect. That was Dan Reeves. There's a guy that's going to be out there. I don't know if it's going to be Mike Tomlin. I don't know if it's going to be Matt LaFleur. I don't know if it's going to be Sean McDermott. Somebody of that caliber is going to become let go. And you pay them. You pay them all. You pay them $25 million a year to fix this thing. That's what it's going to take. Like bankrupt Home Depot to make a difference here, because whatever you're doing is not working. And I am so done with this. We got the Buccaneers, we got the Cardinals, we got the Rams, we got the Saints. Got four more games of this crap. Oh man, I was on one today. I spaced this out so I could like stomach it here, but man, what a terrible team this is. Oh my God. And this was 3 Yards in the Cloud of Punt here on the Blog of Duty podcast. You can follow me, John Buehler, on Twitter, X at Buehler118. You can follow the show on YouTube at Blog of Dirty FS, on Twitter at Blog of Dirty. Watch, like, comment, subscribe, review on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere there's podcasts. Give us a 5-star review. I've got some playlists going. I've got our weekly shows. We've got some interviews to do back in the day. We've got our post games, which is where this is going to go. You guys are really loving the shorts. I've been digging that. I wish we could get some new ones here, but I don't have the ability to do that right now. I'm going to keep talking to you about this team for as long as Punter and Sean and whomever at Media want me to keep doing it. This team's putting me through it. But, you know, with every yin, there's a yang. You know, it's always darkest before the dawn. Getting really close here. I've got to get out of here before the Chiefs do something. Oh, my God, this team is unbelievable. I can't do it anymore. But you know what? We got to keep doing it, because this is what we do. We got to rise up. We got to be resilient. Once again, thanks for listening. And this is the Blog of Dirty Podcast.